Blog Talk Radio.
Again, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into part two of Abounding Grace. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous words out of your, out of wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, because of your spirit and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, again, we want to get back into what we opened up last week, the abounding grace. You know, as we were discussing last week, some of the things that, that God wants us to fully participate in. You were created for this time, beloved. God has deposited on the inside of you a power that is needed to be seen now. And as we learn how to accept the power, A, and then walk in that power, we'll be able to bring the will of God to the forefront so that people can then enter into the place of his calling. The world is waiting on us. And I know sometimes it feels like we're waiting on God, and that's not the way it was set up. He has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, past tense, not future tense. He has already given that to us. So then I would submit to you that if there is an answer needed in the earth today, we are the ones that should provide it. And if we don't provide it, then we really can't be frustrated by what we see. I mean, there's a lot of things that are really, really bad that we get to view every day. And the only reason that we are viewing them is because, as the Bible says, that the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for one thing, the manifestation of the sons of God. When we do our part, we will bring an end to everything that frustrates us. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and these are the words, until all of his enemies be put under his feet. That's our job. He sat down to allow us to do the work that's already finished. But it's a lot of things that, that we do backwards, if you would. We're waiting on him to do what he said is finished. We're waiting on him maybe to get approval so that we can do it. Well, let me help you out with the approval. The last words that he said to us was, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go and you make disciples. You teach all men the things that I told you. You baptize them. See, he's waiting on us to execute his last request, if you would, his last instructions. So he's going to sit there until we do our part. And you see us murmuring and complaining about what we see and not doing our part. That's why abounding grace is resident in the earth. You are the courier. You are the carrier of this divine grace. You know, I was coming home today and I was thinking about some phrases and some truths that we're going to have to actually deal with. You know, I remember there was a time in life that we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and then we would rather do things that we weren't supposed to do, and then we would ask God to forgive us for the things that we did wrong. I called that sloppy agape, because we weren't doing the instructions. We weren't operating as believers. We were not operating as those that participate. We were only spectators. See, when you don't go ye, then you're just a spectator. He has the power to meet you. That's what it says. Again, these are the some of the last instructions. You can read them in Matthew chapter 28. You can also read them in Mark chapter 16. It says that when he was received up, he told them to go and teach and preach, baptize. And then he said, and the Lord, verse 20, chapter 16 of the book of Mark, said, and the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. Please capture that understanding. He confirms the word that was spoken with the signs that should follow the word that was spoken. The signs that should cause healing to break forth. The signs that should cause understanding to be given, strength to be given, so that we can actually resist sin and walk in righteousness. That we can go and baptize. The word baptize means to immerse in. Okay, that's good, sir. That's good. It means to immerse in. I don't know why the thinking came that we should sprinkle a little of the glory around. No, Jesus told us to go and baptize men, not sprinkle them. I understand all of the things that would cause us to not want to incur more work. I get that construct. But see, when they leave the place of baptism, when they leave immersed, there's a greater chance, possibility, that some of the stuff that was attached to them can now be washed off by spiritual truth. See, it's not that the water that's in the pool is causing anything. It's the connection to the Spirit that caused them to be washed by the regeneration of the Holy Ghost, so that they can then walk away from the stuff that's been frustrating them and getting on your nerves because they do it. Amen. See, but we didn't do our part. We went and tried to help God do something he didn't tell us to do. He said to immerse them. See, that when we immerse them, it would stand to reason that the one doing the immersion was already immersed. But if I'm just going to give you a little dab and hope it'll do you, if I'm just going to sprinkle you, then I'm not giving the fullness of the effect that he wanted to have to come to pass. He wanted people to find the same thing that we found, is how to be lost in his love. How to be completely consumed by him. Not just inconvenienced by him, because if someone sprinkles you, probably you can just be inconvenienced. But if I If I am immersed, then the possibility of change has to increase. What did you think? Because I'm now no longer seen. I cannot even be viewed the same. Come on, y'all. When I'm sprinkled, I can just tap a little bit and you didn't see a change. But when I am immersed, I come up differently. I come up empowered. That's why he told us to do that. And again, I'm not trying to make somebody feel guilty because they're not doing it this way. I just happen to have been raised as a Baptist believer, and the Baptists believe in dunking. See? That didn't make it perfect. That didn't make it right from their standpoint. We didn't understand the what it actually meant. See? Because Jesus, okay, all right, we'll do this, we'll say it this way. When Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist didn't want to baptize Jesus, even though he'd been baptizing everybody. He didn't want to baptize Jesus. And Jesus said this verse. He said these words to John. He said, I need for you to do it, John. Suffer all righteousness to be fulfilled. Yeah. See, Jesus didn't go for the sprinkle. He went for the immersion so that there will be a witness of the things that his heart was connected to. And when, goodness God, this is good stuff. These were not in my notes, but this is just good. When there is a witness to the things that your heart are connected to, God sends another witness. Because as soon as Jesus came up out of the water, being immersed, then there were words spoken that says, this is the son whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Yeah. See, so when we just go for a little bit of that which is convenient to us, that which we think is okay, then we don't get the full effect of what God wanted to do or the full confirmation of his position of heart in as much as he loves us. See, as soon as Jesus was immersed, words came from heaven. See, so then I don't know. I have not found an account of someone that just gets sprinkled having the same words spoken over them, giving them the power to execute what God needs to be done in the earth. Here, the one that was perfect and has not sinned went through whatever it took to fulfill all righteousness so that he could execute his responsibility. See, and we're, some of us haven't even been baptized since we believed. I mean, you know, these are things, we can't ignore spiritual truths. I am not trying to get you to do works. Okay, that's not my connection here. See, because I know it has been proven that you can go in the water and be baptized and come up a wet sinner. Correct, that can happen. Because you didn't have, there was nothing in your heart that God could witness. See, Jesus' heart was exposed when he said, John, I need for you to do this so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. It didn't say so all of the proper acts can be executed. See, Jesus displays right there his heart. And then God, because of that, allowed the things that he wanted to be done through Jesus by the filling of the grace, the abundant grace, the abounding grace that was going to be necessary. See? I mean, some of us are trying to do things that God wants to get done, but we haven't submitted to the path that he wants us to walk in. Did he not say, come on, these are the words. Here's my beloved son, hear ye him. Jesus said, this is the way, walk ye in it. I mean, you can see the connection that I can't just do it my way and then ask God to put his stamp of approval on it. See, I need to do it his way. It is time for us to wrap this thing up. And the wrapping up of this thing is not just us getting out of here. Okay? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Excuse me. The world and they that dwell therein. The whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So then we're going to have to do what was necessary to redeem the position of heart God wants to see in the earth by his sons. No longer raping the earth. I mean, y'all, we can get to the science of things, you know, all the things, everybody follows the science. Well, no, I don't think everybody's actually following the science, because God, who created science, said that we're supposed to give the earth a rest at the end of 7 years. We're supposed to allow for the year of Jubilee to take place. We're supposed to give ourselves a rest every 7 days, the Sabbath, and keep it holy. But we haven't followed the science the way he created it. We just thought that was something cute that somebody read out of a book that we didn't want to fully participate in. I don't know. But see, if we'd have kept the science, then the world would not have to be groaning and travailing, waiting for those that will do the will of God, that will give the earth the rest that the earth needs, so that the earth will stop vomiting up stuff. See, if we would give the earth the rest, I'm just here, y'all, pray with me. If we would give the earth the rest, there could be things that would be recycled in the rest that can never be recycled if we don't allow the rest. So then, since those things cannot be refreshed and recycled, Wow. Then we're going to incur the wrath of God because we're not obeying the way he said it should be done. Did he not tell his man to replenish the earth? I hadn't even thought about that command. That does not necessarily only mean get everything you can out of the earth. Amen. Because the earth was created to enjoy a rest. Come on, y'all. When God got through making everything, it was created to enjoy a rest. When God got through making everything, the next thing he did in day seven is he gave everything a rest. There was no requirement made from God. Amen. He let his man enter into a rest first. He did not send his man into work. He sent his man into day seven, which was the day of rest. And the earth was made for that. And because of the sin that entered in from that time, it has not been able to rest. Because that man that allowed the sin to enter in now began to work by the sweat of his brow. See, instead of entering into the rest of the Lord. See, we're talking about abounding grace here. See? So those are the things. You want this thing to be wrapped up. Well, it's going to have to be completed in order to, come on, y'all. It's going to have to be completed in order to be wrapped up. If we don't do our job by giving truth that would transform and bring men, he said this is what will happen, y'all. He said we would make disciples. Amen. In other words, people will be convinced. It just won't be a desire. They will be convinced that this is the right way. Apostle Fred Price just went on to be with the Lord, and the theme song that he had for his ministry was, Is There Enough Evidence? Does your life have enough evidence? Are you convincing? Because we are witnesses to them. So as a witness, I am supposed to give testimony that would convince people. But if I've just been sprinkled and not immersed, I might not have enough power to release the evidence that's necessary. Okay, come on, y'all. I'm just looking at this. I'm still connected to how Jesus said, let all righteousness be fulfilled, because as soon as he let this righteousness be fulfilled, the next thing that we saw was the Spirit of God like a dove coming upon him. So then the power that was necessary to witness was given because all righteousness was fulfilled. And if the one that was perfect needed the fullness of the witness, surely we probably need more than just a sprinkle. Amen. I mean, we start off our Christianity with less than we need to execute the thing he asked us to do. Maybe a little dab just won't do you. If I function under a little dab, then all that is not wet, we could say, was not willing to submit. So how am I going to get the will of God done when more than half of me has not been willing to submit to whatever the sacrifice that would be necessary? You know, y'all just pray with me. If I don't go for the immersion, then there are other processes that do not take place. When you have immersion, everything in you has to start over. You go through a drying process. Okay? Wow. You go through an evaporation process. If I'm sprinkled, I don't go through that evaporation process. We'll start this. When I am immersed, my body temperature probably changes. Amen. It's almost automatic. Because the temperature of water and the temperature that we have is 98.6 are not the same. So then it's going to be a cooling off process. Follow the science. So God wants me to experience this cooling off or this refreshing. Come on, see. When you cool off, there is a refreshing that takes place. That's why it tells us that we're supposed to enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But we didn't do that, so then the thing that he's asking us to do, we're not able to do it. Why? Because we didn't go through the processes that would build us up to execute. So we didn't have the times of refreshing, so all we had is the requirement, and that becomes frustration, not refreshing. See? And then because we didn't participate in the refreshing, we wane in our strength to get the job done. And then we begin to look like the people we were assigned to make change in their life, rather than bringing more of the refreshing that is released from us who have been refreshed. We're bringing as many problems to the people that we were assigned to as they already had. They don't see a difference, do they? Because we didn't fulfill all righteousness. See, we didn't participate in the grace the way God said do it. The abundant grace and the abounding grace is the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. That's what it's there for. The resident power of God, the grace of God, is there with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge. But if I didn't start off with the grace that I was supposed to start off with, That's why Jesus told us, receive the Holy Ghost so we can do the job. First thing he told him to do. Till you get the power from on high. According to scripture, what would be the evidence that I waited for the power from on high? It would be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why Jesus told them that you will receive, come on, y'all, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When did scripturally we see the Holy Ghost come upon Jesus? After immersion. So then I don't know why in our thinking we decided to shortcut the process. We should just go back to what he said. When we do what he said, we can enjoy what he said. We can get the benefit from what he said. But when we do what we want to, when we just make it up as we go along, then we're going to have to continue to make it up as we go along. We're going to have to continue to try to get people to believe a lie instead of seeing the power. That's what Paul said. He said, I don't come to you with enticing words, with man's wisdom. I come in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That would be what we would need, wouldn't it? They need to see the demonstration. But we didn't do what he said to cause the power to be resident, evident for every situation. We would rather go and try to work it up or work it out by ourselves. When he says you don't have to do that, you shall receive power. It's an interesting thing. I worked in construction for many years, and it's an interesting thing. When they build your house, they connect all of the sockets to that power that's coming to the house. But if you don't plug anything into that socket, you will not be able to participate in the power release. If you don't turn that light switch on, which is connected to that power, you will not get the benefit of illumination. Not because the power is not resident, but you didn't tap in correctly. The switch and the socket is the way you tap into the power. You don't go to the light and just put the bulb in and expect power to be there if there's a switch on the wall. They used to have houses that were built that way, that the power was resident in the light socket. When you screwed it in, it came on because they didn't have light switches at that time. They would have a chain that you can pull that they wanted to be able to stop the flow of power. Interrupt the flow of power. But when it first started, there was no interruption. It was just a flow. And I just want to remind you that that flow is still there because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power is resident. It's there. But the switch and or the socket has to be accessed. You can say the switch is my faith and my belief. You can say the switch is my obedience. You can make the plug, the obedience, and the switch my faith. Either way, it works. But you have to have something that connects to the power that speaks to your position and condition of heart that wants to release it, that wants to tap in. See, again, some of this you can see was the problem in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira. They did the wrong thing. And the next thing you know, they were killed because they went at it the wrong way. They didn't have any part in this. They wanted to do it their way. And then they dropped dead. And so then it says after that, people were afraid to participate in that which God wanted to have you to operate in so that you could be complete. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were still scared of the power that's necessary for victory in your life every day, all day. They don't tap into the, they don't plug into the socket. They don't turn on the switch. They'd rather walk around with the understanding that God is going to do something someday, somehow, when he's made resident power on the inside of you available. And it's there with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. See, that's what it's there for. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about the grace, the resident power of God extended toward us with the intent and purpose to meet every challenge and cause victory. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick, alive." That's what it means, quick, "and powerful." See, so the challenge is not with the word, beloved. He just said the word is alive and the word is powerful. Amen. And it says this same word that is alive and powerful works so accurately that it can divide, pierce and divide asunder the soul and the spirit. And the edge of that sword that they're referring to as the word, cutting on both sides, and spirit, separating what you like from what's needed. See, there are certain things as you grow up, you don't like all vegetables. Everybody, I know I didn't. I didn't like all vegetables, but they were definitely needed. So I need to have the word to help me separate what's needed from what I like. And then I'll hear the word of God say, partake of this. It's what's necessary. It's what's going to give you the strength that's required for the job, for the task at hand. His word is going to help you get there. See, the word was not given to you so that you can ignore it. Okay, let's do that. Wow. Why would he give you power so that you can ignore it? Selah. He gave you power so that you can utilize it, so that you can win, so that whatever's coming against you, you will be able to separate yourself from the way you used to think and approach it. You used to approach it from a soulless position, but the word of God is going to separate your spirit from your soul so that you can hear, come alive in the spirit. So that your soul can be renewed. So that you will put the lead back where the lead's supposed to be. Those that are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. That you could be a child of God and not be a son of God. Because those that are led by the Spirit, he called them sons. He didn't call them children. See? He's trying to get us to the point of maturation here. Go back to the place where everything works because my spirit is alive. I got a peanut in my throat there. Shouldn't have ate them. Because your spirit is alive. See? He wants you to fully participate. He doesn't want you to limitedly participate. Again, immersion is what he calls for. He says the word of God is quick and alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce and divide. Okay? It can pierce, okay, the tip, if you would, the tip of the sword is just as necessary as the blade of the sword, because piercing is mentioned right here. Cutting was not mentioned right here. Dividing is after the piercing. I'm hoping you get that. The piercing happens with the point of the blade. Okay? The dividing happens with the rest of the blade. Okay? So then, just so that we get it, if we're only limiting God and the exposure that we have in our heart to God, can we execute what he told us to do? Probably not. Okay, wow. Okay. Notice this. I didn't see this until just now. That the word can separate things that had never been separated before, soul and spirit. It can also separate things that are harder to be separated. Joints, cartilage, muscle and sinew. Did you get that? See, it has the ability to cut things that are harder in their connection. Visibly harder. Okay? Because soul and spirit would be an intricate connection. I get that. But the word of God is so powerful. See, that's why one of the functions was alive and one of the functions was powerful, so that it can get both of them and separate both of them, soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. Amen. See, so I would like to submit to you that we need to allow God to get to every aspect of our life. That which has never been separated and that which is difficult to be separated. That which does not have any use, we think, if it's separated. Joints keep the body together so that it can function. But evidently, God wants to be able to separate joints. According to the scripture here. Because we have confidence in our place of connection. That was good. If we connect with the flesh, we have confidence in the flesh. If we have confidence in the soul, that's that confidence in the flesh. And he wants to be able to separate that joint. And you still will be able to function according to this scripture. Because now you will be functioning in the life or the quick part of the thing. See, your life changes immediately because you deal with the life, with the part that's quick, alive, because it lets you get to the part that is powerful. Did you catch that? You can't get to the part that's alive. You can't get to the part that's powerful without going through the part that is alive. Okay? I'm just looking at the scripture. This is just what it says there. Okay? So then, because he wants to get every part of your body, he wants you to be wholly connected. He will sanctify you. Holy, W-H-O-L-E-Y, okay? Not holy with pieces missing completely. He wants to sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. In order to sanctify, wow, y'all, I'm just loving words. I just do. I just love words. In order to sanctify, it means to set apart. That would require separation, wouldn't it? Amen. See? So he's asking us to surrender right quick. This grace that he's made available, it's going to require surrender. Grace, you know something? Grace does not require intellect. Amen. Grace does not require intellect. Intellect is a function of the soul. Amen. He needs to separate soul from spirit. You get grace in the spirit. Okay. You contact grace in the spirit. You execute grace in the natural. You contact it in the spirit. Out of your bellies, ooh, that's a good term. Out of your bellies flow rivers of living water. Notice God did not require you to continue to find water to drink. He's going to cause the water to come out of your belly. This he spoke of the spirit. Amen. See, that tells us that you contact grace in the spirit. You can utilize, benefit from grace as it flows through all parts of your body, of your life. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and this word is going to separate thoughts and intent of the heart by discerning them. By getting you to participate in a higher revelation than you did before. Not an intellectual revelation. A spiritual truth revelation. A revelation that gives Jesus the ability to build upon. Because that's what he builds on. He builds his whole church upon revelation. He causes strength to be placed on top of strength because revelation is active. Because the switch has been turned on. Flow is what is happening in our lives. Revelation now blesses us. It gives grace the ability to do what we need grace to do. Verse 13. All of that was just in one verse, y'all. I mean, there it is. Take the time and just go back over this. I believe, God, that the same one that gives revelation to me would give the revelation to you because he needs you to live in it, to just live by faith. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him to whom we have to do. Seeing then, when you see from this perspective, seeing then, okay? He's trying to get your eyes focused in a different dimension, seeing then. See, a lot of times we don't do what we would need to do because we're too busy seeing now. But he's trying to open us up to see things. The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will show you things to come. You can now see then. That's interesting. You can now, perfect present tense, see then. Both in advance and in arrears. Seeing then is both in advance and in arrears. Because when the entrance of the word comes, it gives light, it gives understanding so that you can see then. That's in advance. Yes, it does speak to things that have happened.
actual factual accounts, it does speak to that too. But the Holy Ghost's job is to show you things to come, seen then. That we have a high priest. Okay, come on, come on, come on. Just looking at this verse. Look at this. We have a high priest that is past. That's perfect present tense. He didn't say that was past. Amen. See, Jesus is seated in the right at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Jesus, according to his own word, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That put him in my future, didn't it? That where I am, you may be also. That connected my future to my life then, didn't it? Seeing then. It's a little bit more than just seeing now. Because when I see by faith, into faith, I can enter the realm of that which is expected by the Father and needed by me. Oh, I'm trying to tie this in a nice string, y'all. It is expected by the Father. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, not the thoughts that I've already thought, the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil. Thoughts to bring you into your expected end, to give you something, to give you hope and a future. Seeing then. So we're getting the ability here to enter into dimensions that we haven't entered before. Because we're no longer stuck to seeing the past only. We can get to the place where we can see what God is wanting to do through us. He will show us things to come. He wants to open that up to us. When he created us, that was created for us. Amen. Our future, wow, God, that's good. Our future was created for us to enjoy. Isn't that what he said? He's given us all things richly to enjoy. Our future was created for us to enjoy, not to be scared of. Whew, glory to God. I hope y'all getting this. Our future was not to be shunned. It was to be something that would make us gravitate toward it. It was our launching pad, if you would, into higher dimensions, into fullness. Glory to God. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So then, because of this, watch this, now with that being understood, let us therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, back up and see what it's there for. All of this passage of scripture was opening you up for the therefore. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, because we have a high priest that is entered into heaven and we see from then, now we can come boldly. Therefore, that's what the therefore is there for. Come boldly to the throne of grace. The place that causes grace to emanate, the throne of grace. And why do we come to the throne? That we may obtain. It didn't say that we, I'm sorry, it did not say that we may talk about, that we may cry about, that we may bellyache. He said, if you go come to this throne because you understand the therefore, you're going to obtain mercy. It becomes tangible. Did he not say our high priest can be touched with the feelings of our infirmity? So he wants it to become tangible, doesn't he? Let us obtain mercy, and then we will find the grace that's there to help. Not the grace that's supposed to give goosebumps. Grace brings the power to meet every challenge and cause victory. That's what he said. That's what the therefore is there for. And a lot of people have relegated grace for their mistakes. They've relegated grace for their past. When he just told us that all of this was for our future, seeing then, seeing what he has already prepared for us. Did he not tell us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know? See? I'll get you to stop living by what you've seen and start living by what you hear and see in the spirit. Seeing then. I mean, he doesn't want us to be like everybody else. He wants us to be more than a conqueror. Amen. More than a conqueror lets me know that it's going to be a different level than those that just conquer. A more than a conqueror did not have to fight for the victory. It was given to him. But if you're not going to see then, you won't function that way. You'll be looking and hoping that something will happen that has already happened. Jesus said, it is finished. Hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is just, again, all I'm doing is simply reading scripture and hoping that the anointing that's on the scripture is exposed in your life. See? And as that happens more and more and more every day, you begin to participate in the strength that he, in the power that he told you he would give you. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be a witness. You'll be one that can give compelling, convincing testimony now. See? Turn to chapter 2 of the book of 2 Corinthians. Again, this would be one that you could just go study out, just learn to apply these principles, these truths to your heart so that you can then function at a higher level. Not because I'm giving you information that empowers you. I'm simply giving you what the word said, and it will enlighten you. The entrance of his word giveth light. He gives understanding. It shows you where the socket is in the switch. So you can turn it on and then you can process the power to whatever need happens in your life. You'll be able to then know that the faithful God that has called you is also faithful to keep you. Glory to God. They will not be a separate function. It will be the same God that called you is the God that will complete it, the God that will perform it. That's the way Abraham came to the place of believing. He believed that what God had spoken, he also was able to perform. He didn't say what God had spoken made him have a goosebump. He said what God had spoken, he believed that God was able to perform it. Okay, he said he was able also to perform it. Hearing it is good. I appreciate that. But Abraham believed that he was able to hear it and also able to perform it. Amen. See, this is no longer a promise box operation here. See, that made us feel good that we can go and quote a scripture out of the, we pulled out the promise box. No. We should walk in the scripture that we have in our heart. He has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in the truth, not possess it as a promise box. Because all of the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. See, those promises should produce glory because we utilize them. All of the promises of God are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. If you're not utilizing it, then he's not able, according to the scripture, he's not able to get the glory out of it. He put the glory in it, but you're not releasing it to the glory of God by us. Amen. See, he wants us to fully participate in this. We are called co-laborers with him. That's fully participating. We are not supposed to be spectators and hopeful wishers. Amen. We're supposed to be those that participate. Those that see God's glory being revealed day by day in every situation. Those that come behind in no gift. Those that are called to peace, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. See? This is the flow of the Spirit that comes out of your belly. And in the times that we are in, this flow is going to be necessary. Because you do know that men's hearts are going to fail them for the things that are coming upon the earth. So then that means that there are going to be people that are facing troubles that did not have this flow in their belly. And their heart is going to give up on them. Their ability to believe, that's where your heart, that's what happens if you believe in your heart. See? So then their ability to believe in their heart is not going to be functional because there is no flow out of their belly. You heard the word, but you gave it lip service. You said in your mind, these things have passed away. And my question would be, when did they pass away? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Behold, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. See, he's not thinking about changing. There is no shadow. There is no variableness or a shadow of turning in him. So then, since he's not thinking about turning, since he's not operating in the dark, come on, y'all. Since he's operating fully in the light, I need to walk in the light. I need to walk while there is light. Okay, come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Wasn't going here first, but we'll just go on since I done brought up all this light. Seeing, therefore, that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. It didn't say as we talked about it, as we bellyache for it. It says as we have done what? We went to the throne of grace and we received it. And because we received it, he says now we do not faint. We don't give up, we don't cave in, we don't quit. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor are we people that handle the word of God deceitfully. We don't say, yeah, I know that's what it said, but that's not what he meant. That would be handling the word of God deceitfully, wouldn't it? Thinking that that's already passed, that would be handling the word of God, which is quick, alive, and powerful, deceitfully, wouldn't it? Nor do we walk in craftiness. Come on, y'all. We don't walk trying to trick people into doing what the word has required them to do. I don't need to beg y'all to sow a seed. My God supplies my need. If need be, I will go fishing and there will be gold in the fish's mouth. If need be, a raven would be bring me my dinner. If need be, he knows how to do that. So I don't have to trick you. I don't have to walk in craftiness, coming up with the new this and the new that so that you can buy it so that I can have my funding. Oh, I know we all know, you know, ever since there was the Reverend Ike, those things were prevalent in the body of Christ. But he said, I don't have to do that. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if we do stupid stuff like that, our gospel will be hid, and it will be hid to those that we were assigned to. It will be hid to those that are lost. God gave them to us. He told us in Psalms 2. He said, ask me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. See? That is our inheritance. And we haven't handled our inheritance too well. As we look at them today, our inheritance is still functioning in darkness. You see things and hear things, and you say, wow, that was just rude, that was ugly. Because the gospel was hid to those who are lost. We didn't do our job. Amen. In whom the God of this world had blinded the eyes of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. See, God doesn't have a problem with darkness. He said, God command, listen at it, he commanded light to shine out of darkness. So the people that you're believing that need salvation, then go and agree with God that he's the one that can command light to shine out of darkness. He shined into your heart, you old ugly outfit, you. He can do the same thing with them if we would allow the process that he's put in place to take place in our lives. But that's not what we've done. We've hid the light under a bushel. Okay, wow. We've hid the light under a lot of circumstances. A bushel. What a bushel is, the thing that collects stuff. And so we hid our light under that which has been collected by us. Frustrations, anxieties, and fears, doubts, and worries. We've hid our light in that bushel. Wow. And then because we hid it in that bushel, it is hid to those that are lost. Didn't he tell us to let our light so shine that men would see our good works? He commanded light to shine out of darkness and has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He did not say we'll get this treasure when we get to heaven. He says we have this treasure now in earthen vessels. Why, God? So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. People will say, Okay, you trusted him, and he commanded light to shine out of that dark situation. He commanded that the light that was hid under a bushel would be seen. He hid it so that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not your intellect didn't have to come into play here. The reason this light, which was commanded, come on, y'all, woo, which was commanded to shine out of darkness, there was no other option. God said, I want the light to come out of this darkness. He has full expectation then, doesn't he? He commanded it. Walk in the light while you have the light. Sounds like a command to me. You are the children of light. Let your light shine. Verse 8. But we keep talking about the trouble that we have on every side, that we are distressed. They say, yeah, you might be perplexed, but you're not in despair. I'm not going to lead you to a position of despair. If you would let the light shine, it will come out of that despair. The light will come out of that. The Bible says light arises for the righteous. Hallelujah. It arises. It recognized that there was a command given to it, and it's saying, let me loose. And how do you let it loose? By operating as a righteous man. A righteous man is a man that has had his steps ordered of the Lord. A good man receives those steps, finds out how to walk in those steps. A good man does not complain. The blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man does not talk the wrong way, walk the wrong way. The blessed man allows the commanded light to shine out of darkness. We're persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, because we have in our understanding carrying promises that we bear about in the body the dying of Jesus Christ. He says we bear about in the body the promise. Jesus said that I lay my life down and I pick it up again. This commandment have I received of the Father. See, he was walking around with the promise. He was not walking around with the problem. He was walking around with the problem, with the promise. He was always bearing about in his body the promise. And we have the same thing. Because he died and rose again, we get to live. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all pain is gone. Because I know who holds the future. See, these are things that I carry about in my body. That's what's functioning for me. A lively hope. Why is it in my body? Because then the life of Jesus will be made manifest. Come on, y'all. When I do this, the life of Jesus, there is the law, the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, and it makes me free from the law of sin and death. And if I would bear that about in my body, thinking about that consistently, constantly, then the life of Jesus will be made manifest in my body. Victory will be seen and evidenced by me. But we which live always delivered unto death, so that this process can take place, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus, the Lord Jesus, shall raise us up by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For this cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Amplified says they are subject to change, but the things that are not seen are deathless and everlasting. See, this is what he wants us to do. This is what we have to think about. This is the grace that he's made available to meet every challenge and cause every victory. See? But we have to begin to process from that position. We have to put weight on that. He said that when we do this, first of all, whatever we're going through, it is a light affliction, and it only lasts but for a moment. It came to pass. It did not come to stay. See? And while it's here, it's working for you a far more exceeding and a far more eternal weight of glory. This is the balance, or the counterbalance, if you would. This is the same thing that when you saw it, when Jesus was asleep in the boat and a great storm arose, the next phrase says, and a great calm arose. This is the counterbalance, because it is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, I'm not exercising my flesh anymore. I am releasing the glory of God, because that glory is far more exceeding, and it has an eternal weight. Amen. It is not subject to change. But if I'm going to look at the things that I see, then those things that I see are always going to be there. Please hear that. He says that if you're going to look at what you see, that's what you're going to always see. Instead of seeing then, I see what was. I see what has been. But I look at the things which are not seen, seeing then. And when I see then, those things that are seen, which are temporal, subject to change, are going to be changed by that which is unseen and eternal. Well, I mean, this is an abounding grace that he's invited us into. See? He wants us to participate fully in this. He wants us to fulfill all righteousness right here. And as we do that, then we'll become more accustomed to that, so that the things that confront us will not trouble us. Amen. The only things that come your way are things that should strengthen you. Jesus said it this way: the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come. Perfect present tense. I am come. Why you come, Jesus? That you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly, to the full. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That you will not come behind in any gift. That you will not lack any good thing. He said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. I don't know why you crawling around acting like you can't win. He wants you to stand up and walk uprightly. Walk as an heir. Glory to God. Walk as an heir, not as a beggar. Amen. One of the things I said as a quote here: stop being confounded and be conformed, because you were called to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. So stop being confounded and be conformed. Stop being frustrated and be fruitful. Amen. I mean, this is what you were called to. Jump Street, first introduction was man, be fruitful. It was not man, be frustrated. So when you replenish the earth, you cause that which was there to have a rest so that renewal can take place. That was that point that I went through earlier, didn't finish that. So he told the man to replenish. Take that which is and cause it to be again, replenish. And one of the ways to allow the refreshing to take place is that you find the rest in God. You stop arguing with the word intellectually and submit to the word in the spirit, because out of your belly flows, not into your belly goes. You live off of what's on the inside. This is what God did with his creation. You don't see birds at the store trying to buy clothes. Their clothing comes from the inside. And he created you the same way, so that your life would come from the inside out. Okay? And as we begin to process our position of thought from there, then God is able, come on, y'all, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can dare ask or think, according to the power that's alive and at work on the inside, that work that's in you. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we need to, again, tap into the power that's already resident. That is the abounding grace. That's why he came. That's the therefore. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain mercy and find the grace that's there to help. It would be nice if it was grace to comfort. He didn't say grace to comfort. He said grace to help. We have in the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant goodness through the thanksgiving of many would redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us afar, for exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you to wake up to righteousness and allow a word that is sent to you to have healing power and potential released by you, so that you will then be able to enjoy the good. Because he said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the whole kingdom. It's his pleasure to do that. He wants to see you walking as more than a conqueror. He wants you to be the one that's more than victorious, because the one that you are connected to always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and we praise you. Thank you for this abounding grace, this abundant grace that you've given unto us, that we can tap in and we can flow
from that position of faith in you and release the grace that will bring victory every time, all the time, that we will no longer live in frustration, but we will live in fruitfulness, that we will not be confounded, we will be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus, thereby give you glory and give you honor, give you praise. We give you thanks for this right now, committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I hope you got something out of that, beloved. So then I'll now turn the call over to those of you that would have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight. Amen. Glad to have you on the call. Area code 312-330-0424. You have the mic. Area code 312. Go ahead.
Praise God. I just want to say I thoroughly enjoyed your teaching today. And, you know, every time I listen to you, I get something else from God that I need. Okay. And today, yeah. I got to tell you, God convicted me of something. Okay. And I'll get to that in just a minute. But he had me go to the Lord's Prayer. Because as you were talking, he was impressing upon me about forgiveness and why people are depressed and their joy is gone.
Okay.
It's because we don't forgive. And so he told me to go and look it up, actually, while you were still talking. And it says, Our Father... When it gets to the, and hallowed be thy name, when he says, it says, and forgive us our debts.
As we
forgive our debtors. We missed, it's not a period there. It's a continuation.
Right. Correct.
Okay. It's a continuation. And he also says, excuse me, and deliver us from evil. All of that is together.
Connected. Yes, it is.
Right.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And he also says, when you stand praying, forgive.
Okay.
And
correct.
I can't even tell you how long I'll be on my knees and talking about forgiveness. We have to do what God says literally. And he
literally
says, go into your closet and pray.
Yep.
Okay. And he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
That's correct.
I pray before I go to bed. Can't do that. The sun has been down. So if things are done, and then when you said, there was something else you said that led me to Genesis, because the scriptures say, and the evening and the morning was the first
day. That's right.
And the evening and the morning. We've been doing that wrong. It's not the day and then the evening.
Right.
We
got
to start doing this stuff right. If we want all of that scripture that you give us, if we want it to work. I mean, your messages are chocked full of scripture. Chocked full of scripture. And there's no way that we shouldn't be just taking all of that in. But it's our own heart because of unforgiveness. So you said that Pastor Fred Price died. Okay, I was unaware of that.
Yes.
But this is what I got convicted about. I used to support Fred Price Ministry, and I ordered a lot of his, we're talking back in the day, I ordered a lot of his VCRs. He had a series that cost over $600, and I bought it. And so when they came, I came home from work one day, reached down in that big box, and put in a VCR, and it was all blue. There was nothing on it. So I called the next day to tell them that I need a replacement tape. And the woman gave me such a hard time, okay?
Wow.
And I could not believe that after I had paid all that money, she wouldn't give me that tape I paid for. And do you know when you said Fred Price died, the first thought I had was that. Out of all the other things that I've gotten from his messages, that was the first thought I had. And that's what God convicted me about. And actually, I have been holding bitterness and unforgiveness against that ministry all these years. And I have to repent. So it was really good. It was just really good today. And I just want to thank you because it's helping me move past someplace where I needed to give past.
Amen.
You know, if when God convicts us of something and tells us something, we have to deal with that right then because he means for us to move on and go someplace else.
Correct.
He means for us to grow. And obviously those are the things that stifle us. And if we're worrying about sins or offenses that we have committed or that somebody has committed against us, we got to let that stuff go. God
let
got
it
all.
Let it go. Yep.
He got all of this, okay? So we have to repent and just do what we're supposed to do and let him do what he's going to do. And I just wanted to thank you for allowing me to say that. And God bless you in your ministry. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. And we'll continue. Thank you for joining us, Tom. And now we have, let's see, another caller here. Area code 678-469-7930. You have the mic. Any comments or questions about the ministry tonight? Amen. Thank you again for joining, and a lot of people have dropped off, but again, it is my pleasure to allow God to do what he does. Most of the time, I am as surprised as you are by the things he reveals. I expect it, but it's not pre-planned or programmed. It is as the Spirit wills, and I'm just so glad to participate in that with you. So we are here to grow together. And I will say again, if the Lord lays it upon your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, then by all means do that so that we can continue to grow together. We are here to assist you in your growth, in your understanding, and in your execution of the word of God so that we can bring him back in full power and honor. So until the next time, when we can get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until next week, be blessed.